I was in here from the room, and I'll die in here.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Survival Medical Wednesday broadcast with your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Now, before we get on with our broadcast, if you're new joining us, we are a humanitarian American patriot group, not a militia. Be sure to check out our national Facebook page, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Before you click that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout all we do here in the Defenders 7. Check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're on MeWe. Click on Organization, scroll down. Defender 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. We are an LLC. Check out and subscribe to our website. All lowercase letters, www.defender7.com. On our website, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So please, by all means, purchase something from our store or hit that donate button. Help us to help you and your community in time of need. We're also on Telegram. If you'd like to check us out, same thing, all capital letters, Defenders 7 Show, and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio. We enjoy it when you call in with your thoughts and opinions, your feelings, or just to say hi. And that number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Too shy to talk on the phone. We also have a chat room right here on Blog Talk that is also live during each of our broadcasts. We're currently recruiting for officers, and that goes out to veterans and civilians, because we are a group, veterans and civilians, but we are looking to build up a sector throughout all 50 states so that you can recruit personnel. And we could set up training for disaster relief, shit hits the fan, survival training, you name it. Can't do it without you, though. We're currently 760 members strong and counting, and we would like to keep all of our community safe. So if you're interested in becoming an officer, and sharing your knowledge. We have a spot for you. Everybody has something to contribute. So don't think that you can't do anything. And that especially goes out to any disabled person. We have a lot of disabled people in our group. And they're able to do just about anything. So don't let that shy you away from signing up to be in charge of your community. And like I said, that goes for all 50 states. We're trying to make sectors. So check us out and reach out to myself or one of my officers, and they'd be glad to point you in the right direction. Now, without further ado, allow me to bring in your host, Colonel Miss Kimberly Purvis. We have our Major Asking, Miss Lorna Munson, with us, and Dr.
Yep,
Phil.
Dr. Phil is on too. Hi, Phil.
Hi, guys.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy.
And Kim is with us.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I'm on call, and, you know, everyone decides to call me all at once. I'm like, oh, geez, thanks. Everything decided to go stupid tonight, so.
Well, you're just sitting in with the rest of the world.
I know.
I just think it could be worse. Lorna, it could be worse.
Huh?
I said,
what?
Just think it could be worse. Lorna, one of your patients.
I'm not one of your patients.
Sometimes I question whether or not I should be there, but, you know, whatever.
Well, all sitting in personality.
Yeah.
I did find
my emergency, the survival medicine book. I did find it. That was in one place. My herbal antibiotics was in another place, but I still can't find the other book. So I'm like, man. So I was trying to go over. Finished going over the first aid kit and stuff. Want to make sure we covered it all, which I think we did. So some other items like we were talking about, you could, one, go by your area where you live and some of the extra stuff, like, you know, the snake bite kit. I don't know if all the snake bite kits are the same everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So, hold on. So, yeah, Band-Aids are always a plus. There's different types of Band-Aids, depending on your preference, the fabric ones, the plastic ones. You know, it all depends on you. You know, the waterproof Band-Aid, Barbie, Superman, Batman, whatever. I'm sure if you have small children, you probably have all the different characters. Let's see. Wow, they actually have duct tape. Sure, if you're a redneck, duct tape works just as well. But it's always good to have in a first aid kit. Cold packs, you know, the cold packs that you break up, you squeeze them, and then they get cold. Those are really good to have too. But once you use them, they're no good. You got to throw them away. Those hot hands, you know, those are good to also have. I just would not use them directly on your skin. They do get really hot. Eye wash, like you could use saline or eye wash. That's good to have as well. You never know how much you're going to need. Cotton swabs, Q-tips, cotton balls, those are also good to have. Tweezers, always a plus. If they do make these little kits that that my boss got me. I mean, it has everything in it. And it looks like actually a manicure kit, but there's things in it, the little scissors, tweezers, all kinds of stuff, which is actually good to have. A magnifying glass, a pen light, or a headlamp. Those are all really good to have, the headlamp. And I do believe you could change the batteries on those. I'm not sure. You guys know what I'm talking about, the little headlamps?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you could change those batteries. I'm not sure. Not 100% if you could change those batteries or not. The batteries are another thing. You can never have too many batteries. The AAA, AA, Cs, Ds, 9 volts. Those little flat ones, the little flat round ones like it goes in your watches. I mean, I would have all different sizes if you wanted to. A stethoscope and a blood pressure cuff. If you don't know how to check the blood pressure manually, they do have the machines, like the ones that go in your upper arm. The wrist ones are good, but they're not really accurate. They're really not accurate at all. Now, this is talking about if you have the nylon silk or for stitches. If you don't know how to do them, I really wouldn't have it. But, you know, it's good to have just in case you might run into someone who doesn't know how to do it. Let's see, saline, cherry strips or butterfly stitches, those are always good to have. Those survival blankets, they're the Mylar. You know, I'm talking about the silver ones, and they're in a tiny little folded up. Those are always good to have, too. You can fit those in your pocket, actually. A thermometer. Hydrogen peroxide. Witch hazel. The triple antibiotic ointment is always good to have. You can never have too much of that. Antacids like Tom's Rolaid are always good to have. Sunblock, but remember with sunblock, it does have an expiration date on it. So check all your expiration dates on everything you have, actually. Lip balm. Insect repellent, hydrocortisone cream, lidocaine cream, Benadryl, Tylenol, ibuprofen, all of those, Sudafed. Can we still get Sudafed? Or they outlaw that now? Because of the idiots when they were taking it all to make whatever drug it was they were making out of it. Can you see the Sudafed?
Meth.
Yep.
And,
it's meth?
And yeah. Yeah, they use it for meth.
Oh, okay.
And yes,
oh, that's
still,
right.
You can still get it, but you got to show your driver's license.
Isn't it like, wasn't it like one box is all you could get?
Yeah, they cut it down so that you can't walk out with a bunch of boxes.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I was like, I forgot what the hell they made. Okay. By the way, there is a new thing. It's called WET. You know, I learned so much at work from all these CMAs. They take marijuana and they dip it in formaldehyde. Don't do that. I mean, they're coming up with some of the strangest drugs that's ridiculous. Hold on 1 second. We said, oh, another thing that's good to have is that stuff RID. Can you guys hold on a second? I gotta, it's work. I knew this was gonna happen. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Hey, I got a special guest with tonight.
No.
Do it!
Yeah, he's special, all right.
Dr. Freudenheimen. I am Lerna Munson, psychologist, and any questions you have for Lerna, I ask you direct them to me.
Does she want to date her father?
I'm also her father. You do not want to get into the mind of Lorna.
So how does that make you feel?
I've given up my license.
Like a genius.
Oh. And on that note,
moving on.
What, everyone's got your tongue tonight or what, you guys? Gee, quietness.
Nah, we're waiting for Kimmy to get back on.
Sorry, lost you guys for a second.
Yeah, what's that drugstore thing they were talking about?
The drugstore thing?
Yeah. These kids, they go buy that cough medicine, and they get the fentanyl out of it, and then they make methamphetamine.
Sudafed, yeah.
Sudafed.
So here's a thought for you, Dr. Phil.
Uh-huh.
So them headlampy thingies that you put on your noggin, don't that affect your brain if you wear them a lot? The batteries, right?
The magnetic field.
The magnetic stuff?
Not as much as a cell phone.
I don't ever put it to my face. It's always on speaker. I even did that with my home phone, my regular landline. I always had that on speakerphone. I don't like shit next to my ears.
Your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brain needs all the help it can get. It doesn't need any chipping away at it.
That's not Chaplain. That's not Chaplain Mike, is it?
Yes, that's Chaplain Mike.
Well, I went up a notch. You mean Devil Mike?
I started the show. Well, I kind of like Chaplin a lot better. Come on.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm telling you, it's freaking.
We were having entertainment.
Who's the entertainment?
Doctor, what'd you want, Doctor Arya? You don't remember what his doctor's name was.
Frigman Floyd.
Sigmund Freud, yeah. He's a trip. I'm telling you. Yeah, so hopefully I won't get interrupted again, but this is what happens when you're on call. I was on call last night. I was on call for both jobs. For both my jobs. At the same time.
You know, I've got a real poor connection here. So sounded like you said you're on call for blowjobs.
Yeah, both jobs. Funny, not blowjob, both jobs, smartass.
Oh. Hey, what do you think, Sigmund Freud? Was that a Freudian slip there, Chaplain Mike?
No, I did say for both jobs.
What?
I heard it again. I heard it again. It sounded like she said blowjobs. Sounds like a Freudian slip.
Hey, it sounds like you got wax in your ears.
That's what I thought I heard, too.
Why do you think I got my psychology license?
so you could understand all the crazy people in this world.
Yeah. Yeah. See, here's the thing. You got to be freaking crazy to go work at my job. 90% of my residents are on antipsychotics, okay? You got to be on some level with them, a little bit of crazy, just to get along with them and to understand them. Just a little. Oh, so you know what? This is totally off topic, but it has something to do with, well, sort of medicine and whatever. So one of my residents, we're not sure why he does this, okay? So he likes to frequently stick things up orifices that they just don't belong there.
Well, who doesn't?
And when I mean frequent, huh?
Well, who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Not me. But he has stuck straws up his penis and up his butt and other items. But the strangest thing, he put a rubber band around his penis and left it there. Now, what would the satisfaction of that be? Is that more of a sexual gratification, or is that just a mental illness? Or a little
mental
bit of
illness. It depends.
Yeah, he left it on.
It depends. It's like I've heard about people that like to choke people during point of orgasm. So,
well, I mean, I've heard that, but no,
well,
yeah, I've heard that.
He was choking his chicken.
So, yeah, just a little bit too long because the doctor, when she had to go, he would not let anybody. Here's the thing. This is a sad thing. It's been 3 weeks, right? He made this comment. I've got a rubber band stuck around it. I'm like, we're like, well, we need to take it off. He's like, and then he got really upset whenever we mentioned it. Well, apparently, he left it on there so long that
it cut off the circulation.
Yeah,
necrosis set in. Yeah.
Oh, it's so green and yellow, and then the smell almost knocked the doctor over. But
is that the
it was horrible.
Is that the blowing on it?
Yeah. No, that's from a rubber band being wrapped around it. But she was asking me why would someone do that?
What did he put a rubber band around?
His penis.
His penis, yeah.
But I thought maybe it was someone had mentioned to keep it erect.
Right.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Or to stop premature ejaculation, but I thought that would be around the scrotum.
You get retrograde ejaculation if you do that.
Oh, okay.
You don't want
that. She was asking me, and I'm like, I don't know. I mean, that would be the only thing for me to understand. But why? I mean, I get people have weird fetishes, but dang, gone.
There is a thing called a cock ring that is supposed to prolong, but you put it on after the orgasm. That way you can keep the penis semi erect to continue having intercourse.
Okay. Well, apparently he wanted to have it with himself because, you know, but just because I work in an assisted living, don't mean squat. Because these people, this is a brothel / crack house.
Do you know where Bobby comes from? Do you know where Bobby comes from? Twat has a different meaning.
Yeah.
Don't mean twat. That's funny.
Phil was the first test tube baby that survived.
That's right. That's why he likes the tube steak boogie.
So back to our originally scheduled program. Soap. Let me ask you a question about soap. So are they now moving away from the antibacterial soap now? Or does it really matter as long as it's soap? Irish Spring, Dial, or whatever.
Soap is antibacterial, whether you know it or not, regardless of what kind of soap it is. What they're moving away from is the alcohol-based sanitizers because the alcohol is drying the skin out, causing problems, yada, 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 yada.
Well, you know what I mean, where they tell you wash with antibacterial soap before surgery. Okay. But
no, we don't wash with antibacterial soap before surgery. We wash with something else before surgery.
Oh, they actually told me to wash with antibacterial soap before my shoulder and then use HibiCleanse, and that's what I did.
Oh, wash your skin, not the surgeon.
Yeah.
The surgeon, I thought, yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. They told me the night before, shower with antibacterial soap, like Dial, and then use the HibiCleanse afterwards, which I already have HibiCleanse, but... which is you could get over the counter now at Walmart or anywhere like that. But yeah, I guess it depends on the doctor. But
yeah, it depends on the surgeon. Yeah. And if they're up to date on the
label. Have bars of soap.
But any kind of soap is technically antibacterial soap. What happens is soap causes lysis of the cells. And it also, the saponification, it also is a lipolysis where it cuts grease as well. So it cuts grease, it breaks through the cell of bacteria, and so it is an antibacterial, an anti-lipid product.
Well, Dial just smells really good. I love the smell of Dial, so that's really why I buy it. But now, a question. I know, okay, so you have bar soap and body wash. And they do make Dial body wash and all the other ones in body wash. Honestly, is there, aside from the fact that the bar soap is smaller packaging and stuff like that, is there a real difference between the two?
What? I got one back there. Yeah. When I come back, I'm sorry, I was distracted. I'm in a van with like five guys, and we're driving from Brownsville to Houston, which is like a 5.5-hour trip. So,
you're always on those trips.
Well, I hate doing it right after work because it makes it for a real long day, you know.
Oh, I know. So no, okay. So bar soap and body wash, I get two different. I mean, if you have the same product, right? Aside from one being a solid, one being a liquid, is there any real difference? Just for someone's preference?
I don't know that a lot of the body washes have like perfumes and deodorants in them. Some soaps have deodorants in them, but I'm not sure whether one is better for you than the other. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. No, just like you said, personal preference then, right?
I honestly don't think you should shower every day unless you work in a really dirty environment, because showering off the natural oils from your skin actually ages you a lot faster and opens your integumentary system up to skin cancers and things like that. That's what I believe.
So every other day?
That's what I recommend, every other day. But I can't do that because of the type of work I do.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, if you're outside and you're working in your yard, well, yeah, take a shower. Here's the other thing. If you notice, like, in all your nursing homes and all of those places, they don't bathe every day. They only bathe twice a week. Well, one, because they don't do anything, and unless they're incontinent, they really don't need to because their skin is so thin and dried out.
That's because they don't change their diaper every other day.
Well, no, I mean, okay, here's the thing. If you have a good nursing home, I know it's a joke.
I've never been into a good nursing home unless it's a privately paid one.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in all kinds of facilities, assisted living, nursing home, all the different settings. And pretty much they're all in the same 2 days a week or 3 days a week. Because their skin is already fragile anyway and thin, there's no need in showering every single day. Now, if you're nasty and you're dirty, take a shower. That's all I got to say. Water purification tablets are good to have. We've gone over lots of times, I know Weathers has, about how to do the charcoal and all that to filter the water and stuff. Gold Bond foot powder, there's two different types. There's the yellow one and the blue one. They're both good to have. Also, like your baby powder, cornstarch, all of those are also good to have as well. What?
No, I don't know. Vinegar?
Oh, I thought you were saying something like no.
Did you say vinegar already?
No, not yet. But, yeah, vinegar is also good to have too.
Especially if you go to the beach and you get stung by a jellyfish.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And apple vinegar.
Yes, I've been...
Apple vinegar, if you just drink it every day, it's good for your libido in the male.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Is there apple. Any other benefits from it?
Consider it that it's an acid, right?
Yeah.
So if your system's alkaline, it's going to help balance out the system.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the PIN number?
1234.
Shit. 0000.
Silvadine cream for burns. They do sell. There's different types.
And diabetic ulcers.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. You're good for that.
Oh.
Diabetic ulcers. It's also good for arterial ulcers. It's good for any kind of ulcer, silvadine cream is.
I did not know
but,
that. Yeah, I learn something new every day.
But, you know, in the nursing homes, they have to go by the wound care. So the wound care has protocols. So silvadine cream's not at the top of the list. But in clinic, it has a lot of off-label uses other than for burns.
Yeah, see, the one thing that I did learn from wound care with home health, Meta Honey. There's three different types of Meta Honey. There's the calcium alginate that has the honey infused in it, and they're a big sheet. It's thick sheet, and that's for the larger wounds. And then they have the gel and the paste, and it's honey, and that Meta Honey works wonders.
It cuts out the oxygen from the outside, and any bacterial or type of infections allow the wound to heal from the inside.
You can use raw honey. Because that shit's expensive. One box of Meta Honey comes with five sheets. Five little sheets. $100.
It's not covered by all insurances either. That's the problem with it, too.
No, it's not. Now, I've used the Meta Honey sheets with the alginate on Kennedy ulcers. Unfortunately, with Kennedy ulcers, that's usually end of life. It does the job, but they usually die before it becomes healed. But it works. But they work great on a lot of stuff like that.
Remember, Mom used to say put butter on the burn? Why don't you do that? Why is that? Like,
because you're not supposed to.
No, but that's not an answer. Come on, Colonel. Why? What's the why?
Because that continues the burning.
Right, exactly. It makes it burn more. Why do we think we cook with butter? Because we fry shit in it, right?
Yeah, and lard. Also, that was another thing besides butter. Lard, no.
The only way butter would work is if you put a really big gob of it on the wound to choke the air off so that the sunlight, the ultraviolet rays, doesn't penetrate it. If you put a real clear, thin film of butter on the wound, it's going to burn that fucker more.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's some weird things. And, we started to do this little project, 2 years ago, I think. Remember, Bobby? I wanted people to call in or email.
Yeah.
I don't care. Home remedies.
Yeah,
people got lazy.
Idea.
And I can only do so much. But I seriously want to do that. I really do want to make a little home remedies book. I've got my book on herbal antibiotics, and I just ordered another one, Herbal Remedies, the Prepper's Herbal Remedy Guide. I want some of the stuff that, you know, that Grandma used to do. And my grandmother's favorite thing, because my grandfather used to chew tobacco, bee stings and whatnot, and he would chew tobacco and put it on your thing and all that. And I'm like, that's nasty, but I get to work. we used to take meat tenderizer and make it into a little paste.
Yeah.
And if you get stung by a bee, a hornet, whatever, yeah, or mosquitoes, and you would put it on there and leave it for a little while, and the sting would be gone. So, yeah, if you guys, it's pretty cool. I want to make this a book, and if you want it, we'll print it up, and everybody could get a copy of it. And, even if it's a little pamphlet, that's an actual book. Zofran, unfortunately, stuff like that you got to have a prescription for,
right.
But that's also good to have. Essential oils. Now, I'm new to that area of essential oils. So, are there separate kinds where you put,
you mean like KY jelly?
No. I said oil, Marty. Like lavender oil, the peppermint, and all of those. I know there's some that you put in your humidifiers, diffusers, and all that stuff. But are there separate types? Because they think you put some of those essential oils in your when you make your own herbal remedies to actually suggest. So are they made separately, like two different types? Or are they all the same?
I don't know. We do Myers cocktails, which are IV infusions, but they don't have any essential oils. I do Myers cocktails, which are IV infusions, but they don't have any essential oils in them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, in that book, which I can't find, which I got to wait to get the second book now, but it says to make tinctures, but I think that's the coolest word. It talks about different essential oils, and I didn't know if there was different types of essential oil to use. So I was just wondering. And raw unprocessed honey. And that's all I buy, and I buy it by the gallon. And I will not buy honey anymore from Walmart, any grocery store, any type of, never again. I actually go to a bee farmer that's here in town where I live. And I bought a gallon of it, and I paid like $60 for a gallon of raw, unprocessed honey. And you can't, go to Walmart or Dillon's or Kroger's or wherever. How much is a little thing of honey right now? Have you guys even noticed those little things of honey? like the little bear. Freaking $10 for that little tiny jar. I'm like, nope, no thank you. I will buy the unprocessed honey and use it. So they're also recommending if you're going to do a big first aid kit. Now, when I say first aid kit, you don't have to actually have this in one bag. I would put this stuff in totes and separate it out, and you could have it as big as you want. And to make things easier, I actually went you could go to – there's two different places. You can go to the sporting goods section, or you could go to Home Goods. You know your containers? They have air-sealed containers for your food. You can use those, or you could go to sporting goods, the things that they use for your tackle. And they're actually waterproof. And I've actually tested them out. They really are. I submersed them in water. And you could separate everything out into that. And when I had my army bag, I actually have separate containers in my bag, and I labeled what's in each little container. And that way when you open it up, it's nice and neat and neatly packaged and all that. And you could just look for whatever you want. One has Band-Aids, one has gauze. One has the little blister packs of triple antibiotic ointment and, you know, all that cool stuff. But it's, that's good to do. They also recommend, I don't know if you guys have ever had issues with your teeth, a dental mirror, toothpicks, dental floss, dental wax. That clove bud oil is nasty as sin, but it works. Zinc oxide and Dentemp. It's that stuff to make temporary fillings. That's good to have as well. Hey, and if you're brave enough to pull your own teeth out, extraction equipment, forceps, and stuff like that. So, yeah. If you're brave enough to do that, go ahead.
Ambisol.
Oh, yes, Ambisol, too. Yeah. Oh, and or gel, all of that stuff. But, unfortunately, those are only temporary fixes, of course.
Why don't you give honey to babies?
Because it will give them, I forgot what the illness is, crap. What's it called?
Well, honey, especially unprocessed honey, contains mold spores.
E. coli?
Mold, no, mold.
Was it E. coli?
No, mold spores. Mold spores are in honey. And if your immune system is strong, it's not going to affect you. But if you have a weak immune system like in an infant, you're going to get a fungal infection.
I thought there was something more serious, too.
It's a fungal infection in an infant. It is kind of serious, but I guess it's something you need to look up to. I mean, I don't have all the details.
I knew what it was, but I forgot.
I know because of the mold spores, the mold that's in honey. There is mold in it that gets trapped in it.
Yeah. Hold on. Because I know there is, because we looked it up a while ago, and it's up to a year old if
botulism,
you don't want to do
think.
That.
I think it's botulism, I want to say, but I can't remember.
I think that's what it was. Hold on. It's under a year old. Why don't you give... Why don't you give children honey? It's called Clostridium botulism.
Yep.
That's what it is.
And what's the other famous Clostridium?
Huh?
And there's another famous Clostridium as well. Not just the botulism. There's one called Difficile that's antibiotic associated, where you get a very bad diarrhea because you're taking antibiotics. The antibiotics kill off the good bacteria, and the bad bacteria, or that it doesn't kill, the Clostridium difficile, causes a very bad diarrhea. So you have to stop the antibiotics.
C. diff, right?
Yeah, C. diff, exactly.
Okay, C. diff.
that's also a Clostridium family of bugs. Like Clostridium botulism.
Clostridium difficile. Yes, let me tell you something. If you've ever had the unfortunateness to smell C. diff, dear God, you never forget that smell.
Yep. That plus
C. diff.
Antibiotic
a GI bleed.
Fungal infections, GI infections.
Yeah, a GI bleed and C. diff, you will never forget. Gangrene doesn't even come, you know, that's nasty too, but C. diff and a GI bleed is like, nah. The top two things I could do without ever again. Ever. That's all I'm going to say. So, yeah, here's the other thing. So you're thinking about becoming a prepper and all that cool stuff, which is great, which you really should. But that's just my opinion. All of this stuff we talk about, the emergency medicine, first aid kit, canning, you name it, whatever, it's not just for when the shit hits the fan. There's other reasons why you should do it and have it. God forbid a natural disaster can happen. Man-made disaster can happen. You could lose your job. Or a loved one could lose their job. And you have a backup plan, which always comes in handy. Just say you lose your job and you find another job and, you know, you can't quite keep up with everything. That this is part of the reason of being having this, you know, besides the self-sustaining, like homesteaders and stuff. I know not everybody can be a homesteader. I get that. But having backup plans is always a good thing. So, you may not, so my first aid kit is going to be, of course, bigger than anybody, most people's, because of being a nurse, and I already have all this stuff. So you could still have it and not know how to use it, and that's fine. Like I said, say you're camping and you need some of this stuff. Some of the stuff's idiot-proof. Not all of it is. But it's always good to have. So we could skip all that other stuff. So let's
just keep in mind, if you buy a first aid kit for your car or your boat, there are expiration dates on them. If you buy flashlights for your car or whatever, keep in mind batteries die. So check those things once in a while too.
Rotate them. Rotate your batteries, you or your items. Go ahead and use them. You know, don't keep it put in your closet. Just use it. Hell, I've almost done with my bottle of Tylenol. I've had it for 7 years because I used one of those. I bought one of those 1,000-count, you know, those gigantic gallon things of Tylenol. Hell, it works, but it's slightly, it's not as potent as it was when I first bought it. Put it that way. You just have to know you can't overuse it. If you know what I mean.
Yep.
I was trying to go into some, look for stuff to do for trivia. But, oh, something else we didn't, wait, I forgot. Oral rehydration salts, or did I mention that? And all that cool stuff.
Not sure.
Huh?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember. Anywho, let me find my first aid. I lost a book. Okay, so let's go with some trivia, if we can find some trivia in here. So how to recognize an emergency. Unusual personal appearances or behaviors. So to say you're in a group, whatever, you're normal, environment. So what would some unusual personal appearances or behaviors be in someone? Not necessarily a total stranger. Okay. If you, people in your family, your friends, whatever, what would some unusual personal appearances or behaviors be? Yes, this is group participation, guys, Bobby and Lorna.
I missed the question.
I can't do sign language through the phone. Okay.
I need pictures.
You need pictures. Okay. So say you're in a, with a group of friends or family or whatever, whatever, and this is how to recognize an emergency. So what would some unusual personal appearances or behaviors be? Something out of the ordinary. You're like, you're looking at Bobby and going, there's something wrong with Bobby. We just don't know what it is.
Facial expression.
And we're not talking mental.
You got a droopy.
Huh?
You got a facial expression. If you got a droopy face.
Yeah.
Skin color.
Sudden collapse or unconsciousness. Well, that's a drastic one. But yeah, so say they're just sitting there talking to you, and all of a sudden, boom, they pass out. Yeah, there's something wrong. slurred speech, confusion, drowsiness, trouble breathing, wheezing or coughing. If it's out of the ordinary, like with the coughing or, you know, whatever. One, they could be choking, having an asthma attack, allergic reaction. I mean, it could be anything, but if they're normal and they don't have these issues every day, then, yeah, that would be an unusual thing. Clutching the chest or throat. The chest could be heart attack. Clutching their throat. They need the Heimlich maneuver, and they could be choking on something. Or if their throat's swelling shut, a lot of you will grab their throat. Inability to move a body part. An extremity would be a better word for it. Just say they're walking and all of a sudden they can't move a leg, you know, or an arm. Uncharacteristic skin color. Say they're normally pale white and all of a sudden they turn blue or bright red. Nausea or vomiting. I mean, those are some basic things. Also, if all of a sudden, you know, we're all together and then Bobby starts rambling out of the blue, incoherent, that's a drastic mental change. If he, you know, if he's having a conversation and all of a sudden he just starts rambling like, whatever, you know, I smell color or whatever, you know, that could be probably a sign of a stroke or whatever. So noises, if all of a sudden, like, you're out somewhere and you hear screaming, yelling, moaning, or calling for help, don't be that innocent, don't be that bystander that pulls out their phone to start taking a video. Hey, try calling 911 instead of, you know, videotaping it and thinking somebody is, what's it called, the bystander effect? Isn't that what it's called?
Got me.
When, yeah, and so... a lot of people do, you see, I don't know if you guys have seen these videos where they'll just like a child, and the they'll have the parents' permission before they do this. So they'll have their kid just standing there or walking down the sidewalk or whatever, and they'll have some random person come up and grab them and run off with them, right? They're trying to prove a point. And most of the time, nobody will do anything. And when they're videotaping it, it's pretty sad. And I think it's called the bystander effect when nobody does anything. Or if someone collapses. I mean, it's pretty sad that people don't help. Breaking glass, crashing metal, screeching tires. One, most of the time you should look to make sure it's not coming at you.
Well, I think most people are now more concerned with videotaping it than helping.
Exactly. But I can't remember. I'm almost positive it's called the bystander effect. Oh, don't worry about it. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it.
Yeah.
And nobody
yes,
does it, and the person dies or whatever. You know, oh, I got to get my video for TikTok, my 15 minutes of fame, and that's all they care about. Sudden, loud, or unidentifiable sounds. I don't know about you guys, but cars backfiring, some fireworks, and gunshots, they all sound the same sometimes, depending how far off in the distance they are. Where we used to live, they used to use fireworks to cover up gunfire. So, yeah. The sound of structural collapse or falling ladders.
Okay, I got a question.
I might have an answer.
Somebody gets hurt and you stop to help and you're not medically trained and they end up dying because you tried to help them. Can their family turn around and sue you for that?
Yep. Okay, it's called the Good Samaritan Law. And
depends
it's to protect
state.
You. But it also depends on your state and depends on the person. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if you guys read about that guy who did CPR on a woman and he cracked a rib. So she sued him for cracking a rib. I mean, or she tried to sue him. I don't know if she actually did or not. But here's the thing. This is what I try to tell you. If you don't know how to do CPR correctly, just do the chest compressions. But that's what that good Samaritan law is for. It's to protect you. I guess it's... I would definitely look it up in your state or your area. I mean, here's the thing. Unless it's gross negligence, like using a tourniquet wrong, yeah, I would say so. Don't use one. But you know what I'm saying? As long as it's not gross negligence, then there shouldn't be a reason why they would try and sue you. Anybody wouldn't. And that's why a lot of people won't help. Because of that. Everybody's too happy. Ambulance chasers. And it's sad. Probably didn't answer your question completely, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, we kind of figured that it was state to state.
Yeah, but there
Minnesota,
is that good Samaritan
guarantee,
law.
Minnesota, I can guarantee you it's, you'll get sued.
But it also depends on what kind of lawyer you can get. But here's the thing, like I said, you have to prove that you were not grossly negligent and doing it completely wrong. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Now, okay, here's a for instance. Someone's choking, but you have no idea how to do to crank somebody. Yeah, if they die, yeah, then you should get sued because you just didn't know how to do it. But by doing the Heimlich maneuver, I mean, come on, if you try, you know. But, yeah, I wouldn't, like I said, if you have no idea how to do it, no, don't do it because you can. Because that's gross negligence right there. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things. Under odors, unusually strong odors, unrecognizable odors, inappropriate odor. I don't know what the hell that means. What is an inappropriate odor?
Bobby Sparks.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Okay, so if a person is having something called diabetic ketoacidosis, they'll have a fruity smelling breath. It'll smell like acetone odor. It'll smell like nail polish. So that's a weird odor.
I know, but would that be an unrecognizable? But would that be inappropriate though, or is it just weird wording?
Well, not everybody's going to know what it smells like.
Okay. Yeah, also their urine will smell like fruity pebbles if they're in DKA. I thought there was – the first time I smelled that, I was like, wow, what in the world? And, yeah, their blood sugar was like 1,500. They live. but okay. The smell of smoke. Yeah, that's not always a good thing. Let's see. Unusual sight. Now, there is some of these are pretty weird. Broken glass, fallen boxes, an overturned chair. If you get, especially if you go to your own home, and when you left your home, it was, you know, the way you left it. And I'm not talking about being dirty or clogged. I'm not talking about all your furniture is upright when you leave your house. And all of a sudden you come home and it's a disheveled mess. Hey, watch out before you go in your home because someone probably robbed you. Or you could have had a tornado. So, you know. Some of this is weird. On your electrical cords, what are you supposed to do if your electrical cord is frayed or cut or broken? What are you supposed to do with huh?
Throw it away.
Well, you're not supposed to duct tape it?
Throw it away.
I thought that's what the duct tape was for in your first aid kit. I'm just kidding. No, you throw it away.
If you know what you're doing, I mean, you can tape it up, but
you should use electrical tape.
Yeah, if you don't know what you're doing, throw it away. Don't use like an aluminum tape.
Electrical tape, yeah, is what you would use, but yes, you should throw it away. Anything frayed, broken, cut, chewed, you know, you should not keep it. You should throw it away. Let's see. So how do you act in an emergency? Do you run around like a chicken with your head cut off, or do you stop and think and assess the situation? What would you do if you come up on an accident, of any kind of accident or emergency?
Keep
driving. What would be the first thing that you do?
Keep driving.
Keep driving, yes. Because it's a too happy world, keep driving. No. I usually stop and pull over and say, ask them if they're okay, and then call 911. And I've only actually had it happen one time where I actually had to help because a lady, it was like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was on my way to work. And this poor old woman should not have been driving. I swear to God, should not have been. A guy was on his bicycle, and she jumped the curb and ran him over. Bike and all. Poor guy. But his body was, like, mangled, like, bent in places it shouldn't have been bent. And he was trying to move, and he was trying to move his head. So if you don't have, like, a C-collar, they do sell disposable C-collars, by the way, which you should keep in your car. But so if you come up upon an accident, one, make sure it's safe. Don't freak out and be like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Stop. Look at your surroundings. Make sure it's safe. Is there water? Is there electrical, like, power lines down? Whatever. Make sure it's safe for you to approach that scene. So in that one instance, the guy getting run over, I had to actually keep him calm. Now, if you're, like, in a frantic mess, do you think you're going to be able to keep that person calm? No. You need to make sure your breathing is regular and you're not like, oh, oh my God, you know, don't panic. You got to keep a steady head in order to help somebody. And also, one of the biggest thing they teach us in nursing school is critical thinking. So, and in all honesty, I could not work ER. In a trauma unit, I could not. I can tell you right now, I'd be like, I might freeze. I wouldn't panic. I might freeze. But then again, that's not my set of nursing skills because I'm not an RN, and so therefore that's not a setting that I would feel comfortable in. Now, if I was thrown into that, like, God forbid, shit hits the fan, then yes, I would have to adapt and overcome to that situation. So on a regular, everyday basis, My hats off to anybody who works in the ER or ICU, because I'm not going to do it. So, yeah, ensure the scene is safe. Check victims for life-threatening conditions. Activate the emergency medical service system, 911, not 911. Don't text 911. Call 911. Because believe it or not, I have heard stories about idiots trying to text 911. You cannot. Call 911 by text. Also, if you're in another country, their 911 is not 911. So know where you're, like, where you're, I believe someone's is 211. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, it wouldn't do you any good to call 911 if you're, say, in Africa or Egypt. I don't know. Learn where you're at. Stop any bleeding and treat for shock. Like I said, it's good to take a good first, a basic first aid class. Do they still teach those? You guys know? Like the fire department or anybody, do they still teach basic first aid that you know of? Anybody?
Nope.
No?
I don't know.
They don't? Oh. All I know is when I took CPR, it says basic first aid and CPR. They didn't teach me shit for first aid. They only taught CPR. So I didn't know, like the Red Cross does not. I know the Red Cross doesn't teach first aid. But I didn't know if anybody else. But it's good to find a CPR course. You can YouTube it. And they've got them, but I didn't know if they teach any in person. So, don't give fluids to anyone unless the person is conscious and alert. And then again, I still wouldn't give them any fluids, because what's the first thing when you go to the emergency room and you're like, you go in for whatever reason, and you're like, I'm so thirsty, can I have some water? No. What's one reason why? They don't want you to have anything to drink or eat when you go to the ER. Anybody. Throw out an answer as to why.
So you don't vomit when you're under intubation?
Yep. Or you might have to have surgery. Say you broke a femur. God forbid. And not to mention, the other thing is, the doctors don't know what's wrong with you yet. So, stay calm, if you can. So how do you avoid disease when doing, like first aid and stuff? What's some of the stuff that you should do, or not do, I should say? Come on, Lorna, you're doing good. What, you taking a nap again?
I had it on mute.
I'm not
going to say
what. So what's one way to avoid the cooties? Or
keep your legs shut.
Wear a condom.
Well, that's one way to do it.
wear gloves.
Yes, your PPE.
Bloodborne disease.
Yeah, any of that. Wear gloves, goggles, anything like that. Oh, if you're doing CPR, they do make disposable breathing, protective breathing barriers. They're disposable. I know I got mine from the Red Cross for like $5, which is like highway robbery. But it's in a little pouch. It looks like a condom pouch, believe it or not. They're disposable. It's a one-way valve. And if you have to use it, you pull it out and you throw it away. They also make the other kind, that you would use for the BVM, the bag mouth valve, and those are reusable. You just sterilize them, and they're reusable. So, but yeah, the biggest thing is wear gloves. If you're fortunate enough to have a hospital gown, the disposable gowns that they all made us wear for COVID, you know, that supposed to protect you from everything. I kid you not, when I worked in Florida at Jackson Memorial Hospital, they took mostly homeless people. It was a community-funded hospital. And I worked on the respiratory floor. And I knew, when you work on certain floors, you have to wear all the PPE or most of it or whatever. And the doctor looked at me and he said, this man's a walking Petri dish. Make sure you dress out completely. And I mean, your little, the caps, but the same ones that were in surgery. You know, when you have surgery, one of those, I had to wear eye protection, a mask, the gown, the gloves, those shoe covers, everything. So, I mean, unless you're in that environment where you actually need that stuff, but you're not going to have those gowns, really. Wash your hands. We shouldn't have to teach people this, but wash your hands. Wash your nasty hands.
Every other day.
Every other day, yes. How are you supposed to wash your hands? And it's sad we got to teach people this. How do you wash your hands? Honestly.
Say your ABCs.
Yep. With soap and water. And so when you wash your hands, I know this is not a really well-known thing. So you know how surgeons wash their hands?
In your blood.
Well, they taught us, huh?
In your blood.
In your blood. wash it away from, let all the dirty water go down. I mean, if it's down your arms, I mean. But, yeah, there are effective ways. Sing your ABC song, I guess. It's one thing you could sing. Or happy birthday while
Shit.
You're. What?
I'm sorry. Now I'm at the Border Patrol checkpoint, so they're making sure that we're American citizens and we're not carrying drugs or weapons or illegal aliens with us.
Oh yeah, gossiping? No, don't want no illegal. Never let chill. Okay, so you're in your house, right? And you're in the kitchen. How do you, if you're cooking, your dinner, whatever, how do you put your handles on your pots and pans when you're cooking? If you have small kids, where do you put the handles?
Not off the edge of the stove.
Very good. Not on the, yeah. Maintain a fall-proof home. Not always the easiest thing in the world. If you have rugs, make sure the rugs are flat. Sometimes they make them skid resistant where they don't slide all over the place or the edges get curled up, especially if you're someone who uses a walker or a cane or you're like Lorna and you trip a lot. You may not want to have misshapen rugs that move easy. Keep your power cords, like your TV cord, any type of cords, keep it behind the TV. You can actually secure them so they're not just laying around so your idiot dogs can chew them, because some people have stupid dogs like I do who like to chew cords. But yeah, also children, you want to keep the kids from being able to pull them out of those sockets and sticking stuff in the socket where they don't belong. always have a smoke detector in the appropriate places, your kitchen, the hallways, in front of each bedroom door is a place where you should have them. If you have a fireplace, have a carbon monoxide detector. Very important to have those as well. Why should we have carbon monoxide detectors? Anyone?
To detect carbon monoxide.
No kidding. But why? Because carbon monoxide is what? Colorless and odorless. That is the why.
What are the sources of it, though?
Of carbon monoxide?
Yes.
Fireplaces? Propane heaters?
No. Natural gas?
What?
Propane heaters, kerosene heaters, people who have gas stoves, people who have gas air conditioning, like in RVs.
Yeah. Well, they have one here because we have a fireplace. That's what they told us. We had to have one because we have a fireplace. So I'm like, hey, fine. I will have one. Well, also, we have a gas hot water heater as well. Have a fire extinguisher in your home. Very important. Or your car, or your RV, camper, whatever. Those are important to have. And yes, there are different types of fire extinguishers. Always have an emergency plan. Like in case of a fire, have an evacuation route out of your house. You have pets. Who's going to get the pets? Who's going to get the kids? You know, unless you live alone, then it's just you. Have a meeting place. Now, if you live in an earthquake-prone area, you may have to, you know, escape your home. Always have a meeting place of where to meet in a natural disaster or of anything. Keep your appliances away from water sources, like hair dryers. You don't use a hair dryer in the shower, but of course, some idiot probably did one day because that's why there's a warning label on your hair dryer. Don't use in the shower. Keep it away from your, like I have mine, it's next to my bathroom sink, but you keep it unplugged. So you don't want to use it, you know, while you're washing your hands. So you have two stoves. You have a gas stove and you have an electrical stove. What do you use on each of them if you have a fire? If you have an electrical fire, what are you going to use on it to stop the fire? If you don't have a fire extinguisher, what are you going to use?
Sand?
Are you going to throw water on an electrical fire?
No.
Yeah, why not? Oh, come on. Why wouldn't you use, huh?
I don't want to get electrocuted.
Hold on. So, sodium bicarbonate is one agent in Class C fire extinguishers, which are recommended fire extinguishers for electrical fires. So, yeah. You can, if you don't, like I say, if you don't have one, use baking soda. Or a fire blanket or heavy item of clothing to put out electrical fires. Don't just lay it on top of an electrical fire. You got to kind of swat it and, you know, make it go out. So what do you put on a gas fire?
CO2.
Huh?
CO2.
Hold on, to put out. Because I don't know that one. Yes. Powder, CO2, or foam extinguisher. Those are Class B fire extinguishers, gasoline fires, and all that. I'm not getting into all the other stuff because, believe it or not, there's different color flames. White flame, blue flame, green. I forgot what green is. I don't know if you guys ever watch these fire shows like Chicago Fire and all these and movies and stuff. When they have green flames, you can't put water. They have to use a foam. But I forgot what the different fires. And that's why when you see all your gas trucks and all of those, and they have all the different things on the side, because it tells them, the DOT and people, what is being carried on their trucks. Because there are different types of gases. Like I said, I ain't getting all that stuff because I don't know. Have your heating and cooling system checked at least once a year to maintain it. Use a mask and gloves when you work with harsh chemicals like pesticides, fertilizers, and strong cleaning products. Watch what you use. Don't mix chemicals like ammonia and bleach. It makes for a nasty mess, and it could probably kill you if you combine the two together. Don't dishwashing liquid. Don't mix with ammonia either, because it makes a pretty bad gas. So, we went over that. I got this really cool. They have these really cool. It's called First Aid Survival and CPR book. It's a little flip book, and they're waterproof pages, and they're really cool to have, and it has everything in it. I know I've asked this question 100 times. Where do you not use a tourniquet?
On the neck.
Yeah, that's a good one. Where else?
On the penis.
Well, that too. Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that. The head. Either one. And the abdomen. Or your torso. You're only supposed to use them on your extremities. Let's see. I'm just flicking through. You know they got animal first aid and animal CPR? I did not know that. But it's done pretty much the same way. Let's see. I'm trying to think of some other trivia for first aid. So what are the different types of allergic reactions? Hives, anaphylaxis.
Hives.
What happens with hives? What happens with anaphylaxis? Besides, the person could probably die.
It's swelling in the airway.
Would you consider a rash anaphylaxis?
Nope.
I wonder why they put that on there.
Not unless it's a welt or a hive, like a wheel.
Oh, okay.
So if you got those welts and hives external, you got them internal as well. But if you got a little dotty micro dot rash, that is still considered an allergic reaction, but not anaphylaxis.
Okay.
But
hold on one second.
If you're exposed to that, you could develop anaphylaxis.
Hold on. I'm telling you, it's Wednesday night. Sorry, it's just work again. Hold on. You guys, talk amongst yourselves for just a moment. I got to do this text really quick.
What do you know? Bobby's sleeping again?
I know, huh?
My name's not Lorna.
Uh-huh.
Reverend Mike's still here?
Chocolate? Reverend Mike is still here.
Well, why don't you let him do some preaching? Maybe we can learn something.
Preach your mic.
Spread
the word.
I learn a lot more tuning in than broadcasting.
So what were you saying about the welt for anaphylaxis?
Yeah, hives. Hives, if you have them external, okay. you can have them internal, especially like along the airways. Anaphylaxis, the main concern is swelling of the tongue, the lips, swelling inside the airway, which is going to compromise respiration, and that is true anaphylaxis. It happens very rapidly. You can have a minor allergic reaction, but then the next time you get an allergic reaction, it could be severe.
Yeah, I think that, like with myself, with morphine, like with IV, that's the only way I've ever had it. I actually had an IV, and they put the morphine in, and within a few minutes, I had a red streak up my arm from the IV site. It went all the way up my left arm, and then I started having trouble breathing. My tongue was swelling, my throat, and I did have, like, the welts all over my chest and my neck and everything else. So I'll never again. I'm like, nope. I put a big morphine allergy all over everything. So just as fast as an allergy can start, especially to medication, so if you ever have an anaphylactic reaction, can your body ever not have one? Or is it like once you have one, that's it, you're done with that medication or whatever?
Well, I think the theory is not to take a chance.
Oh, true.
Now, you can be desensitized to allergens. You can be desensitized to them, but that takes time. You have to build the body's immune system up to it, to not react to it. And that's what they give you drops or weekly injections or things like that for.
Yeah, because, like, with my son, Red 40 would, it would just wreak havoc on his body. And welt, bleeding, he had a couple asthma attacks here and there. I mean, he just looked horrible, like he got stung by a billion bees and shit. And he went like 10 years, if not more, without having anything with Red 40 in it. Now his body's like, whatever, and it doesn't bother him anymore. We didn't do allergy shots or anything like that. So would that have just been an allergic reaction or an intolerance? And as he grew up, his body got a stronger immune system so he could tolerate it.
Most likely. Sounds like it.
Because he was like 8. And the only reason why we found this out was all of a sudden, it was Valentine's Day, and everything's got freaking red dye in it for Valentine's candy. And he could have been 6 or 7. Yeah, well, he was really young. It was really young. But we found out because he came home from school, and I swear to God, it looked like he was just blown up, blisters, like hives all over his body. And he was bleeding because he would scratch, and he'd just bleed all over. And we found out we did have an allergy test, and it was Red 40. But this was also back in the 90s with that big out of the red dye 40, and what was the other dye that they said caused issues? I forgot what the other dye was. But everything's got red dye 40 in it. Everything does. We had to completely desensitize this poor kid. But like I say, he went years, almost 10 years, if not more, till one day he just ate something that had red dye in it, and he didn't have any problems from it.
Can I take a smoke break? No.
Sure, go ahead.
Break real quick. Smoke.
Yeah.
Just for a second.
Oh.
Go.
Diabetic. So, what are some of the signs of hyperglycemia? What's hyper mean? Come on, guys, Bobby. Hyperglycemia is an excess of sugar in the blood. So basically, your normal, what they say, the normal blood sugar is between 70 and 100. Now, I mean, some people have 110. I think the highest mine's ever been is 114 or whatever. I've seen a lot of diabetics where their blood sugar could be 150. And their doctors don't give them any insulin. It all depends on the person. So what are some of the symptoms of hyperglycemia, though? So, depending on how high it is, a person can go into DKA or diabetic ketoacidosis. Pretty much anything over 600. Some diabetics are so used to it that they don't even have symptoms of high blood sugar, which is really sad. But confusion, weakness, rapid breathing, rapid heart rate, excessive thirst, frequent urination, nausea, loss of consciousness, coma, and death. And that's for hyper. So the treatment for severe hyperglycemia needs immediate medical attention. Insulin or oral medication, but here's the problem. If you're unconscious, it's not going to be oral medication. It's going to have to be insulin. So what is hypoglycemia? Hypo means it's too low, under 70. Now, the lowest mine's ever been is 42. Trust me, each person will know. If you have low blood sugar, you're going to know what your tolerance is. But for the most part, here's the thing. There's different types of diabetics, too, by the way. There's a brittle diabetic, which is hard to treat, and their blood sugar can tank and shoot up just as fast as it drops. And they're very difficult to take care of medically. So you could take too much insulin and your blood sugar will drop. So some of the symptoms, headache, shakiness, dizziness, anxiety, loss of consciousness, your vision can be blurred as well. So if you've ever seen someone with low blood sugar, what's the first thing that people usually go for with someone when their sugar's too low? What's the first thing
orange
that they're going to usually do? Orange juice. What happens with orange juice? But what happens with orange juice, though?
Full of sugar.
Well, no, I know that. It goes up. It will bring your blood sugar up. But the problem is it doesn't last that long for the most part. because it's a simple sugar. And so now they're telling us, well, one thing, if they start to become unconscious, they use a sugar pack under their tongue or a little bit of honey. You put it in their cheek. So this is the biggest thing that we did, especially the nursing home. Get their sugar up as quick as you can, and then give them the complex carbohydrate, the complex to maintain it. We would give them like graham crackers and peanut butter, a cheese sandwich, or whatever. But yeah, orange juice is the first thing that most people go for. If you're still conscious, hard candy.
Peanut butter sandwich.
Why, did they change it?
There's carbohydrates in peanut butter sandwich. We use what they call the 15 rule, the rule of 15.
Okay.
Check the sugar, give 15 grams of carbohydrate, 15 minutes, check it again. Give another 15 grams of carbohydrate, check it again. Half a peanut butter sandwich is 15 grams of carbohydrate. It's probably more so the bread than the peanut butter, but there are carbohydrates, complex carbs in peanut butter, and there is simple carbs in the bread.
Okay. Well, I did not know. I've never learned that, but that's okay. It's good to know.
Yep. But you can Google the 15 rule for hypoglycemia.
Oh, you know what else is good to have? Is those glucose tablets.
Yep.
There is. It's like I said.
There's a spray, a liquid spray.
Is there really?
Yeah, for glucose.
Cool. Oh, and something that I did not know they had, there is an injection that one of my residents, she's a brittle diabetic, but here's the thing. Only a nurse can give one of those injections. Now, unless you're at home and you've been properly trained on how to use it, then yeah, but in a nursing home, assisted living and whatnot, only a nurse is allowed to give that glucagon injection.
Glucagon,
okay, whatever. Tomato, tomato. I know there's a difference. Like in our assisted living, the med aides can only dial up the insulin pen, and then they hand them over to the diabetics, and they inject themselves. If they ever get to the point where they can't do it, they're no longer eligible to live in an assisted living. So that means that's the way it is in Kansas. That's why they don't use the vials of insulin, the regular and, the clear to cloudy. They don't use those because med aides are not allowed to draw them up. So, that's why they've switched over to the insulin pen. Okay, so we've gone through that. Oh, also fruit juice. Didn't even think about that. A fruit juice would be good. I think we'll go over that later. Oh, so like, I know this is off the subject of this. If a person has excessive diarrhea, right, what's one thing that you want to avoid? So I've been told this a million times, and I tell people this because I've been told this. What's the one thing you want to avoid if you have extreme diarrhea? Just save it from a flu bug or anything.
Fruit juice and dairy products.
Why?
Because hyperosmotic.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking of another reason. The sugar. I don't know, like, when they say drink Powerade and stuff, I try to do the sugar-free because the sugar, I was told, causes more diarrhea. Is that a lie or is that the truth?
It's most likely true.
Okay. No, I was just wondering because that's what the doctors have always told me. Avoid the sugar. Okay.
Yeah, fruit juice and dairy, and we follow a BRATS diet, BRATS. Bananas, rice, applesauce, toast, and soups. You can have applesauce, but not apple juice. Because of the fiber.
Because apple juice will give you diarrhea more.
That's right.
Something
but
else you should
avoid.
The apple
sauce has the fiber in it. So.
Oh, okay. Something else to avoid if you're vomiting excessively or the diarrhea is to avoid red or purple dyes, like your red fruit juice, purple fruit juice, things like that. Because if you start vomiting and it's all red, it's kind of, I mean, it's kind of, well, they don't want you doing it because it's hard to distinguish if you're vomiting blood, but there is a difference, though, honestly, in red. Same thing with diarrhea. You want to avoid the red and purple juices, jellos, and all of that. That's why they give you the nasty blue or nasty green jello and yellow. But blue jello is pretty good. But that's why they want you to avoid it. It's because of the dye. So, I guess we could stop with that. Thing is, our participation has stopped. Bobby's napping. He always takes a nap.
Not me.
Nah.
Not me.
No, we could go ahead and stop. I still have a lot of work to do. Anywho. No, I know it does. But hey, we could go ahead and stop now.
All right. Another great show. Thank you, Kimmy.
You're welcome.
God bless America. God bless our children, first responders, our veterans, military, the missing. God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.